This book of Philippians was written by who? Paul. What was Paul? What were some things that Paul was in his ministry? He was dynamic. Yeah, that's true. Just a description. But what kind of office did he fulfill? The responsibilities did he fulfill? Missionary. What else? Apostle. Sure. What else? What was that? Yeah, sure. He knew the law, didn't he? Yep. But he was a good Pharisee. Let's clarify on that. He was not a bad one. He was a good one. He was a Pharisee that had humbled himself before the true Messiah, Jesus Christ, and believed, put his faith in the Lord Jesus. What else was Paul? An evangelist. Amen. That's right. Someone said missionary. Anything else come to mind? Church planner. Yes. The things you've said have all been accurate. He was a church planner, as a missionary, evangelist. He also did pastoral work. There was times where he was a pastor, starting off just feeding the flock and loving the flock and leading the flock and giving instruction. And he certainly was a pastor at heart in many ways. But so he writes this letter to the Philippians, and he's writing it, as has been said, as primarily a missionary and a church planter who was supported by a church that he started. They loved him. They prayed for him. They supported him. And he was very appreciative. I am thankful for the missionaries that we support. I hope you read their letters. I know that it sometimes can be a little bit overwhelming. I know Rick and Sherry have given me a stack of cards that I hope to implement. We're going to wait till I get back from Scotland. But it's a really, I believe, effective way to truly stay in touch with our missionaries. They're called basically care cards. And what happens is the church families adopt certain missionary families to keep in touch with them, not necessarily indefinitely, maybe just for the year, where you could commit to adopt that church family to keep in touch with them. And we want to do that. We want to keep our missionary families dear to heart, because this is what we can't fall into. And I have to remind myself this as a pastor. We can't get into this trap where we're just trying to go for numbers. Because, brethren, if all we're going for is numbers now, and I listen, Miss Stone, don't get mad at me. I love the flags, all right? But we shouldn't be about just adding flags, okay? That's something we want to do, but I have to guard myself. It's not about flags. It's not about just countries. It's not about numbers. You know what this is about? This is truly fundamentally about souls being reached for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. It's about Him and His glory. And what I don't want to be as a focus is all about numbers and then our relationship with these precious missionaries being so shallow. Does that make sense? We want to be able to love them and encourage them in that way. Let me give you here some Bible reasons why we give to missions. Now, notice here back in our text, he says here in verse 9 of chapter 4, as Paul, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, what he's getting ready to talk about here is missions giving. He's writing a thank you letter, if you will, as a part of the book of Philippians, recognizing their care for him, their encouragement to him. And one of the things that I think we need to realize right off is that this is God's plan. We didn't make this up on our own. This is not man's solution. This is God's solution for missionaries to be supported by local churches just like this one. And one of the things I want us to see here in verse 9 is that, you know, missionaries give too. One of the things I have on the application that we have, or the questionnaire, I should say, for the missionaries, is I ask them, I say, do you give? to your local church? Do you tithe and do you give to missions? Because I want to know, listen, if we're going to support a missionary, I want to see that they're doing the same thing that we are. That they are also seeking to tithe and give. And you know, Paul was that way, because what he's about to say to them is that, look, I'm giving too. I'm asking you to do the things that I'm already doing. And so Paul is just making that clear. And I think we can be encouraged by that. That, look, missionaries are also giving and helping give towards God's work and the church that they are sent from and seeking to make a difference. And perhaps that transitions to more when they get to the church where they're planting a church. They perhaps may give to that one on the field. But nevertheless, they are doing it too. Paul gave that example. Notice with me, number two, missionaries are rejoicing in the support. Paul here says, but I what? In the Lord greatly. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care. That's talking about the missionary support. He's talking about the prayer support. He's talking about the connection that he had with this church. It says, of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Now, what is he saying here? He's rejoicing that they are supporting him and the work that God has called him to. And they take part in rejoicing, knowing that the will of God is being accomplished, and it brings joy to their hearts. I'm thankful for the missionaries that we hear from often. And especially the thank you notes we get, which are very often missionaries just saying, thank you so much for the generosity of your church. And you are a generous church. And we are seeking to do that for the glory of God. But I want to tell you, it's a blessing to see them encouraged. We have gotten just numerous notes. I've just lost count of missionaries saying, hey, that gift you sent met a specific need that we had, and they rejoice in it. So we do want to be an encouragement, don't we? But then thirdly, notice with me, as they rejoice in it, they show forth that they really do appreciate it. Sort of same line of thinking, but verses 11 through 13, Paul was saying, look, I don't speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, whatever situation I am therewith, to be content. For I know, basically he knows here how to be abased, he knows how to abound. He says, everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know, I believe that we're giving to missionaries who they understand what it means to do without. And as Americans, sometimes we struggle with the discipline of, okay, what can we do without? But I want to tell you, we're supporting missionaries that they learn how to do that. They really do. They get to the field, they try to watch their funds, and they try to realize they got, number one, they don't have access to a lot of the things we do. But nevertheless, they are appreciative. And it's hard to give towards something or someone knowing they don't appreciate it, but they do. And missionaries, many of them have learned how to live next to nothing, but they truly do appreciate it. And then here we understand a reason for giving to mission is verse 14. Notice God commends it. Verse 14, it says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Obviously, Paul was in need, but they communicated financially to him and sent that offering and even sent help, as we understood earlier in the letter, through Epaphroditus. They just gave of themselves to be a blessing. And I want to tell you, God takes notice and commends you for doing what you're doing in your missions giving. Be encouraged by that. God commends it. But also, number five, we understand we give to missions because, hey, sometimes there's not enough churches that are still doing it. Notice verse 15. He says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So there had been some people that had stopped giving. And I don't think Paul was complaining. I don't think he had a complaining spirit here. He was actually commending the church of Philippi, but there was churches that were stopping in their support of missionaries. And he says, look, you have done well. You have continued to support me. And that's my prayer for our missionaries, that they will know that we're going to do our part by seeking to continually support them. And knowing that this is the original way of financing mission work around the world. I believe in building programs. In fact, I'm going to be talking about one here in a couple months here at our church. But one of the things that I understand about building projects and renovations, we don't ever want it to hurt our missions giving. We don't want that. We want to be good stewards and to encourage the fact that that is the main focus. Now, we understand part of foreign missions, as I said this morning, is home missions. I mean, we want our facilities to be welcoming. We want them to be updated as needed. And we have, boy, the fellowship hall just looks so good. And the classrooms downstairs, and we're getting ready to renovate the nursery. You'll be hearing about that project. We got four babies coming here in the next 3 months, and so you realize that we're going to have to expand that nursery downstairs to where we can facilitate the needs that are there for an infant nursery and a toddler nursery being next to each other because of our workers needing to be there. But we're going to do somewhat of a separation there. And I don't mean to get into all the nursery details, but I want to tell you what my point is. We as a church, we are growing, and we want to make sure we are making room for that growth. Because as the church grows, the mission offerings grow. The laborers grow, and it's part of God's plan. And we have to be cognizant of that, church. We got to be willing to do our part, but we do not want to see the missionary offering fail. Another point here is that verse 16, reasons to give to missions is because there are needs everywhere. Notice what he said in verse 16, for even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. He's noticed that phrase there, even in Thessalonica. That was only about 75 miles from Philippi. So that was really a local mission. I don't know, how many miles is Atlanta from here? From where the crow flies, maybe. About 70 miles? Anybody want? Yeah, 60, 65. So a little bit of comparison there to give you an idea. Now, I don't know how long it'd take to walk from here to Atlanta. They didn't have Interstate 85 connecting them. But you get the idea. It was not a very long ways away, but they even sent funds when he was doing a mission work in Thessalonica. And we are all about home missions, too. We thank God for our missionaries in the United States of America. The Kellers out there in Utah and so on. Our brethren up in New York City and Brother Mark and there in Atlanta planting a church. And we are grateful for what they are doing. And that's a part of what our plan is. The need is everywhere. And we want to do our part. Then notice with me here in verse 17. I believe a reason for giving to missions is because one day we'll wish we did. He says here, not because I desire a gift. It's not the gift that he was focused upon. But he says, but I desire, what's that next word? Fruit. You ought to circle that word. But I desire fruit that may abound. And then this next one, your account. Fruit that may abound to your account. What is he talking about here? He's talking about the precious souls that are being saved. are being put to your account. It is you receiving, if you will. I don't mean to be carnal here. I'm not trying to be man-centered here, but I'm just trying to give us an image, a mental image. It's being just credited to your account that you will have to use for the glory of God for all eternity. It is, I don't know why this just came to my mind, but man, when we went to camp this past week, I had no idea that those juniors could spend so much money on so much candy in so little of time. But they had these little cards that you give them credits, and they would go to the snack shop, and I'm telling you, they had a blow pop in one hand and an ice cream in the other. And I said, oh Lord, help us. I'm glad I'm not their counselors. But I say that to be a little bit silly, but at the same time I realize that's someone was putting that to their account for them to be able to spend there in that Wilds bookstore. But you know, spiritually, when we are supporting missionaries and doing our part, we are investing in missionaries, and the things that are being accomplished are being applied to our spiritual account. And where in the world are we going to spend that credit, that reward, that fruit that's going to our account? What are we going to be able to do with that? The feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's an old hymn song that talks about, must I go to the Lord empty-handed? We don't want to do that. We want to understand that now's our time to invest. Now's our time that fruit may abound to our account. It's going to be an awesome sight and glory one day when we're going to see how the impact was made upon that very truth. Number verse 18, notice with me here, not only will we give to missions because, you know, there'll be one day we stand before the Lord and we'll be glad we did, or either we'll wish we did, but other reasons are it grows your faith. Notice verse 18 says, but I have all and abound and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well pleasing to God. You see, it grows our faith because without faith it is impossible to please the Lord. The offering here that was sent from this church, it cost them something. They went without in something. There was something that changed in their life. And I think that's a wonderful truth for us to keep in mind. That is, whatever we decide in our lives that we may have to do without, that's a sweet sacrifice to the Lord. It may be one less Starbucks coffee you purchase for the week. You're talking to a Starbucks coffee drinker, okay? I like Starbucks. Now I don't get the what do you call them? I'm trying to be nice here. No, it's not just the lattes, but Frappuccino. I'm trying to think of another, and it's something that I just want to call it the fluffy clouds, okay? Because that's what this seems like. They look like fluffy clouds, add a lot of cream and it's but nevertheless, you know, you can easily spend $10 on some of those drinks now at Starbucks, and again, there's occasions for that, and I'm not being critical of that, but I will say this: there are things that we do spend in our lives that when it comes to missions, we need to pray. Holy Spirit, what is it that I could do without that maybe I could give more, that somebody may benefit? Now, you understand here, you know your pastor's not being critical for you buying Starbucks drinks, okay? I hope you know that. But my point is, it may not even be Starbucks with you. It could be something. We all have something in our budget that we spend freely and often that we may just need to review that and say, you know what? Lord, I'd like to make a little bit more of a sacrifice here and maybe go without this particular thing that I would normally do. And I'm not here to tell you what that is. That certainly is the Holy Spirit that will help us in that. I know they are. I know what they are for mine, and certainly talked that over with Joanna, and we both discussed those things. And sometimes you definitely feel it, but in the long run, praise the Lord, we are able to give for the Faith Promise mission. So it does grow our faith, and it pleases the Lord. And it is certainly giving to help missionaries around the world at home takes that type of faith. Now, notice with me number 9 here, God certainly replaces it. That's one of the things we need to understand, that God will supply our needs. Verse 19, this is only in the context of those that give sacrificially, that give to the work of God and to the mission of God. Notice verse 19. The reason we give is because God meets our needs. But my God shall supply all your what? Need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That is a beautiful and most wonderful promise, that we know that God will help supply every need we have. Now, here's where we have to be careful, and something that I've had to do some soul searching in my own life. When it comes to the missions offering, we could not change a thing in our spending, whatever our income is, but still increase our missions giving, seeking to be, you want to say, hey, this is coming in, and there's nothing we really have to change. We'll just give more since I'm making this or whatever. And then something comes up in our life, and whether it's a financial need or something, and we realize, whoa, maybe I'm giving too much. And my point is that we still, even if we have enough income, we still have to be careful. We still certainly need to be careful to state that, look, God is going to supply the need that we have when we are giving sacrificially. So that is something that we have to be careful of, not selfishly and certainly not carelessly, but in a way that honors the Lord. And we understand we can give out of our abundance. That is true as well. And we understand that is also a truth in Scripture. But we understand God will help us along the way. We don't want to abuse this promise, but we do believe God gives it in the context of missions. Then notice with me here, lastly, God gets the glory from it. That's the whole point, is it not? Verse 20. Now unto God and our Father be what, church? For how long? Forever and ever. Amen. That was Paul's closing statement concerning this missions offering. To God be the glory. And that's why we give here as a church to missions. We do it for the glory of God, so that He might be made known. And so I hope that you understand that your giving is not in vain. Be encouraged tonight. Be just satisfied with how the Lord is using your funds for the furtherance of the gospel. And I trust that in the days ahead, as we read those missionary letters, we will be encouraged by the fruit that's abounding to your account. But brethren, let's take it personal. I don't know why it is this year the Lord has just maybe put upon my heart a little bit more definitely, and that we can't manipulate this. We can't manufacture it. But brethren, we have got to be doing home missions ourselves. And I believe the Holy Spirit is reminding us of this. We've got to get out there and win more families to Christ. We've got to reach them. Because it will indeed accomplish many things for the glory of God. Lives, more lives changed. And also more support that can be given from the base in reaching more that are out and about. And I trust that you'll join me in prayer even tonight, that we'll understand, praise the Lord, missions giving is biblical. But one thing that Paul commended the church of Philippi throughout this letter is they were doing what he was doing. They were being faithful and pointing people to Christ, seeing people saved, being sacrificial and seeking to be a blessing. The example is Epaphroditus that he gave. That was the general spirit. And then, of course, chapter 1, he just really commends them on their general heart for reaching people with the gospel. But let's be encouraged tonight in our missions giving, and may Jesus be honored in that.